News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Now, welcome. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. Very serious topic on deck today, having to deal with the horrible attack at Tim Hortons in a domestic violence situation where a woman was horribly burned, allegedly at the hands of her boyfriend, with whom she has three children. The woman is not doing well. The suspect is not doing well. Both are expected to survive. Now, coming up, we're going to talk with a local doctor about exactly how such extensive burns are treated and what the opportunities are for reconstructive surgeries, et cetera, et cetera. Can't imagine anything worse than being set on fire, but nonetheless, people had to see that yesterday. Maybe you were among them. David, there aren't many stories as horrible as that which we're going to talk about today, which is a woman being set on fire while she's working at her job at Tim Hortons by her boyfriend. And she suffered very, very, very severe burns. And we're going to go to a local physician right now.
Let's just set the story up real quick. Yesterday at a Tim Hortons in Tonawanda, a guy allegedly goes up to ex-girlfriend, asks to meet her by the dumpsters behind the restaurant. At that point, he's alleged to have thrown some flammable liquid on her, sets her on fire. He also has serious injuries, and they're both in the hospital. But of course, you know, when you look at the fact that with these burns, I mean, you have the initial injury, and then you have, of course, all of the infections that you can get after, you know, the first layer of skin. So who better to speak to than a doctor who knows about burns?
Dr. James Harith knows about everything. I know him, and he is a friend. Dr. James Harith, thanks very much for joining us in Bowerly and Bellavia.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it, guys. What questions can I answer for you guys?
Well, first of all, can you talk medically about the considerations that have to be thought of as you are treating somebody with serious burns?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the first things we're going to want to look at is going to be airway. Always our ABCs, airway, breathing, circulation. So in this particular case, if you know somebody comes in, say it's a house fire or like this, like an assault, we're always looking to see whether there's evidence of that there were superheated gases that went into the airways. Because after that initial blast of air, edema starts to set in, swelling. So, you know, the patient may be fine for the first couple minutes or maybe even an hour, but, you know, afterwards, you know, we're really concerned about having that airway closed down, so you want to secure that airway. My understanding is both those victims required intubation, a tube into their breathing pipe in order to be able to maintain oxygenization and ventilation, get rid of that CO2. So that's going to be the first and foremost to be able to help stabilize. Second is definitely going to be breathing, of course, on mechanical ventilation, a ventilator. And the third is going to be circulation. These patients, you know, we take our skin for granted,
right,
and it does many things. David, you were talking about protecting us from infection. Also keeps our fluids in place where they belong. So there's going to be a massive fluid shifts that occur. So we want to be able to resuscitate these patients in the sense of giving them plenty of fluids. There's actually a couple formulas out there we use to be able to calculate how much fluid they require. So those are the first things I think of when a patient comes to me in order to treat them with severe burns.
Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, doctor, you know, a lot of times people automatically assume that if you succumb to injuries from a fire, then it necessitates that there was first or second or third degree burns. But there's a lot of times that you can actually inhale the heat, the flames, and that causes internal injuries, like you were saying, with breathing, and that could be the cause of death right there.
Absolutely correct. You know, you starve somebody of oxygen, and death is going to occur seconds to minutes. So absolutely, before they even get burned on the outside, absolutely. So many things occur in the setting of a fire. So
Dr. James Harith is with us. We're talking about the case in Tonawanda yesterday, and he's giving us the basics about how doctors handle such severe burns as the female victim and the male alleged perpetrator have on them. As far as pain is concerned, doctor, I mean, you know, when we all touch a hot lawnmower or we touch a hot stove, we know how much that little burn can wreck our whole day. Can you talk about the pain of such such severe and widespread burns on a human being?
It is absolutely incredible. You know, when we talk about maybe even a third degree burn, you know, it actually destroys the nerves, then at that point there may not be pain involved. But when we're talking about a burn victim, it's not just third degree, it's not just first degree. We have varying degrees of burns throughout on these patients, and it is an incredible amount of pain. So pain control is always very, very, very important. And in the initial phases, a lot of times these patients are in a medically induced coma, for lack of a better concept or better term. But afterwards, it is something that's dealt with, and not only just the physical pain, there's also the mental pain that occurs afterwards, and that's also addressed, which is why it's very important to get these patients after initial stabilization to a appropriate burn center, where they look at the patient holistically, not only physically but mentally as well, which is incredibly important. But it is a long road after such a trauma that occurs.
Doctor, what do you recommend when you talk about something as simple as first or even a second degree burn? If you're in a situation where you're initially burned, the old school of thought was to get it underwater as soon as possible. What is the actual medical recommendation?
Well, water is in cooling, so you want to definitely cool the area. You want to make sure that it's clean as well. And unless it's something incredibly minor, you do want to seek out medical attention. I think that's going to be always important, especially if it's circumferential. It means it goes completely around the finger or goes around the limb, because then you have to worry about compartment syndrome and a lot of other complex things. So unless it's something incredibly simple, I would always recommend seeking out medical advice. Always important, because then if you add on other layers of complexity, such as diabetes or other diagnoses, that just kind of compounds it as well. So, but the seeking out water, anything to cool, is important, and you also want to keep it clean.
Dr. James Harith is with us. Last night there was actually some concern that the female victim's hands might have to be amputated, but they were able to restore circulation to those hands. Medically, as a physician, any idea exactly how they were able to bring about the positive result?
The information that came out was very not very specific. So when somebody presents something like that, my concern was it a circumferential burn? Was it a burn in which, the edema, the swelling was actually, cutting off circulation? So in some cases, you may require surgery in order to be able to open up the planes of the tissue planes of the hand in order to be able to allow circulation. But we have a fantastic team over at ECMC. They have a fantastic burn center. So I'm sure they did everything they needed in order to be able to restore circulation for this poor young lady.
You talk about the mental aspect, and of course, as I found out, anytime the body suffers a severe trauma, there are definitely some emotional considerations that come into play. And then, if you have severe burns to your face, obviously you look in the mirror that first time, and that has got to be a horrific experience for so many people. As a physician, how effective in 2018 heading into 2019 has reconstructive surgery become? Will this woman, if she was badly burned on the face, have we hit a point yet in medicine where in a year or 2 years people might not ever even know that she'd been through such a traumatic burning experience?
In the 1 to 2 years, probably not. I mean, we've come a long way, but if you can definitely tell. But if we're talking about maybe in the next 10 years or so, there is a lot that's on the horizon when it comes to plastic surgery and reconstructive surgery. But we're definitely better than where we were about 10, 15 years ago. But that's definitely a fantastic question for our plastic surgeon friends here in Western New York and in other centers.
Well, we'll try to get Jerry Saltz on the show to get his thoughts on this as well. I don't know if you know Dr. Jerry Saltz, but plastic surgeon around here does great work. We're talking with Dr. James Harith on News Radio 930 WBEN. In trauma, you know, we always talk about the golden hour. The faster you can get to a level one trauma center from the moment of injury, the better your chances are and the better of a successful recovery are. Specifically, when you're looking at burn injuries, what kind of a time horizon do physicians look at as being the most dangerous?
You're absolutely correct. That is definitely, you're always looking at the golden hour, absolutely, because that's the point where you want to be able to help maintain a blood pressure and perfusion, because at any point, any of the tissues of the body are not getting oxygen, blood flow, they're being starved of that oxygen because of low blood pressure. That's when you start having the breakdown of other cells, you know, and then you start having what's called a cytokine release. So it's the start of destruction, essentially. So, but if you can, within that short period of time, maintain good blood pressure, good volume resuscitation, you decrease the risk of those, basically that cascade that occurs afterwards. So, and then after that, and it's no longer just a golden hour in the burn victim, because the burn victim is going to continue to lose quite a bit of fluid. It's almost like the golden 24, 48 hours. You want to maintain a certain urine output. You want to maintain good fluid intake for these patients, a lot of times through IVs and aggressive IV hydration. So it's even more difficult in the burn victim, because the initial damage has occurred doesn't mean that damage is still occurring and that that process is still isn't occurring, because it is.
Doctor, so many of the symptoms to determine whether or not someone's going into shock are skin-related. When you have a severe burn victim, do you just automatically treat them as if they are going into shock? Because there's really no, is there another barometer that you check for?
So we're going to be looking at blood pressure. What skin is we tell for the perfusion on. We'll be looking at that. Urine output is also really, really important. So we try to maintain about a 0.5 cc to 1 cc per kilo per hour of urine output. If we see that beginning to dwindle, we know, hey, maybe we're looking behind. And what's also really fantastic is the use of bedside ultrasound. Our trauma teams, our ER teams, and many of our PICU teams are beginning to grab that bedside ultrasound, take a look at the right side of the heart, you know, look at the inferior vena cava and say, hey, does that look nice and plump? Are we good with regarding volume? Or, geez, do we need to give this person a little bit more volume? So that's something that's fast, it's not invasive, and we can get some answers very quickly. So besides just the skin, urine output, and also looking at our ultrasound results. And we can also look at some other basic vital signs besides blood pressure, such as heart rate. Heart rate's one of the first things that goes up, but it also go up due to fear, due to pain, some other things. So we look at the whole gestalt to see kind of what's going on for each of our patients.
You know, doctor, when you talk about ECMC and just the in the years that, you know, ECMC has become a top, almost world class when it comes to trauma. There was a time 15 years ago that if you had severe burns, you had to be moved to a center that could handle that. Is there anything when it comes to burns that ECMC can't handle?
I would defer to my friends over at ECMC to be able to, in all honesty, most of the adult burns that come that are, at least regarding the catchment area of Western New York, ECMC is the place to go for burns for adult patients. For our pediatric patients,
that's obviously, yeah.
The level one trauma center is where they should go for initial resuscitation. And then from there, depending on what is needed, then it might be a different hospital. But Children's Hospital is absolutely fantastic for our pediatric hospital.
Dr. Harith, I know you're a busy guy, and I have one more question for you, and that is, when you're dealing with somebody who has undergone a severe burn injury, and I realize there are many variables that go into this, but how long before that person can return to some semblance of normal, typically?
It is, Tom, that is a fantastic question. There are so many variables involved. So you're looking at weeks to months or maybe even longer.
Or even years?
Yeah, or even years, if able to, absolutely, because there's so many variables that go into it.
Well, Dr. Harith, again, we recognize that you have a very busy schedule, and I believe you are probably rounding right now. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep your patience waiting. Thank you very much for joining us on Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN. Wish we had a better story to talk about, but we certainly value your expertise.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. James Harith. And David, I mean, this we're talking about the situation yesterday at the Tim Hortons in Tonawanda where a boyfriend, so-called, went behind the restaurant, went to the stockade fenced-in dumpster area and lured his girlfriend out and then doused her with something flammable and set her on fire. He also set himself on fire. Both are at ECMC. And the woman is far more seriously injured than is the man who is the suspect in the case, who faces obviously a slew of calls. And, you know, one of the things that we found out this morning, David, on A New Morning with Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski, is that the city of Tonawanda police had only been called to that particular couple's residence on one other occasion. And that was this past Saturday at about 1:30 in the morning.
You know, it begs the question of all that we ask of law enforcement, and, you know, I'm sure there's always someone out there that wants reflexive legislation for anything that happens similar to this, but what really can law enforcement do? You go to someone's home, there's a domestic situation, the police are well-versed, well-rehearsed and trained in this. But, you know, at some point, you know, who can ever predict how things escalate? You're dealing with a custody situation. You know, these are children. These are, you know, emotions are high and passion is high. And I don't think anyone could extrapolate a visit that looks like it's under control and cooler heads prevail. And it escalates to something which is attempted murder.
Well, we and of course we've all seen that. Those of you who are fellow fans of the show Live PD on A&E. Now, coming up on Bowerly and Bellavia, obviously we're going to get into more details about the domestic violence and what we can do as a society to prevent incidents like this. But there also is the medical angle to this story. We're trying to hook up with a plastic surgeon to find out exactly how a plastic surgeon is going to go about reconstructive surgery when somebody has significant burns, and we're trying to line up Dr. Jerry Saltz, gentlemen, I also know to make an appearance on the program just to get us, you know, the bigger picture and the 35,000-foot view, if you will. A red light and ended up fractured.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes.
Well, David, obviously this is not going to be the show topic, and we're going to get back into our show momentarily, but we need to pay homage to an actress slash producer who has tragically left us.
Penny Marshall, Happy Days. Well, actually, it was Laverne and Shirley, and she did all those little guest appearances as her character. But really what she made her career, it was a filmmaker. She was a director. She did Big with Tom Hanks. And she was the first female director to make over $100 million at the box office. And League of Their Own. That's right, League of Their Own. Just an impressive career, and she was also an outlier when it came to Hollywood. She, you know, wasn't into all the Hollywood stuff. She'd go to Laker games. She considered herself to be a tomboy who her favorite drink was milk and Pepsi. That's something.
Well, it got her to 75 years of age.
That's right. But unfortunately, she had diabetes, and complications from that took her away today. Her brother, Gary Marshall, another acclaimed and celebrated filmmaker, he died 2 years ago. So they're both together now, and Penny Marshall passed away at 75.
All right, so that is a mini tribute to Penny Marshall. Bowerly and Bellavia, and yesterday in the city of Tonawanda, an absolutely horrific scene. As a boyfriend, just to recap the story, boyfriend goes to the Tim Horton Street on Niagara and with Seymour in Tonawanda, and apparently goes to the dumpster area by the restaurant. The dumpster area, as a lot of dumpster areas are, enclosed in a big stockade fence. So the boyfriend lures the girlfriend out to that area, douses her with some kind of flammable material, and then lights a match. And the problem for the bad guy is not only did his girlfriend go up in flames, but the flames also spread to him, the perpetrator of this very, very heinous act. And at last word, both of them are having a very tough go. They're both expected to survive, but they're both having a very tough go, as you might expect, at ECMC. And, you know, we're asking you, you know, have you ever been in a situation where you've had to get out of domestic violence? Have you ever been in a situation even, you know, where you've had to move heaven and earth to get somebody with whom you used to be out of your life? Now, we don't know the exact situation involving Jessica Cameron and her boyfriend. We don't know exactly what the nature of the disagreement was. They have three kids together, a one-year-old, a two-year-old, and a four-year-old. And this is one of the most horrific acts of domestic violence, David, that I can recall in the local news in quite some time. I mean, setting someone on fire. And I don't think, I mean, and the thing is, you do that to somebody, there's not a lot of people outside of your immediate family, maybe, who are going to have a lot of good thoughts about you being in the hospital as the alleged perpetrator.
Yeah, what do you do as a punishment for something? So you look at all the different domestic violence situations that we've seen nationally, locally. You know, the police do their job. They show up. A lot of times they have reason to take someone in custody and they don't want to file charges, or there's pressure, or there's, you know, forces that are outside of their control. But in this case, it's not like they've been to that home, you know, 50 times in the last year. This was one visit this week, last Saturday, I believe. And no one could ever imagine that not only something this heinous, but something this close to another call. And you think to yourself, you know, what everyone talks about, you know, the guns and how we want to take away someone's firearms when they're involved in a domestic dispute. This, again, there's nothing that we have on the books could have prevented something like this. It's just you have to think, we don't know what the mental state was of the individual. We don't know, you know, if drugs were involved at all or if the person was intoxicated. But I don't know of anything that can excuse that. There's one victim in this situation, and this is a poor woman who's fighting for her life. And she's got a you know, babies to take care of at Christmas time that she certainly won't be home, you know, for the holidays. So it's just
terrible.
Yeah, it really is one of the most piggish and disgusting things I think we've seen.
So, folks, in your own life, have you been involved in a situation of domestic violence, or has a friend of yours been involved in a situation of domestic violence? Have you been involved in a stalker-type situation, which obviously does not have the, generally does not have the end result of somebody setting you on fire, but there are a lot of people, unfortunately, out there, and we're talking about both men and women who simply do not know that no is the answer, and that it is over, and that every drive-by in the world you do is not going to have any impact whatsoever on the person who has dumped you. So, I mean, these things dumped you or divorced you, as the case may be. So, I mean, these are not productive activities. And some people, you know, unfortunately, some people, David, just don't know when to give it up. Now, we, again, want to make it really clear. We do not know the exact circumstances that existed between the victim at Tim Hortons and the suspect at Tim Hortons. We don't know. But it does point to the larger issue of domestic violence and people behaving very badly within the framework and confines of a relationship with somebody they supposedly love. And, you know, when you start pouring a flammable substance on somebody, David, I mean, you know, it's almost like, well, I mean, I get the sense, and this may or may not be correct, well, you know what, if I can't have you, then I'm going to make sure that nobody else wants you. Because why would you set somebody on fire? That, you know, nobody, you know, I think he was trying to either kill her or disfigure her. Obviously, that's conjecture, but I don't think it's very far from the ballpark in this particular situation.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm sort of left with, you know, you think of the employees, the customers at Tim Hortons. You know, what would you do? You walk outside and you see, you know, two people on fire. You automatically assume it's an accident. You don't assume anyone would have any motive to want to do that. No rational thinking person. I don't care how angry you are. I don't, you know, care how you feel you were treated poorly. to do something like that, you know, you've heard of like acid attacks where, you know, exes or jilted lovers will just throw acid in the face, essentially saying, I can't have you, therefore, you know, good luck trying to find someone else without a face.
Right.
In this situation, though, you know, you're trying to murder someone as well as disfigure them. And to me, it's at the very top of the most disturbing things I think we've ever had to talk about.
And if you were there yesterday at the Tim Hortons, if you were a witness and you want to put us in the picture and tell us a little bit more about what went on and what you saw, we'd love to hear that. I mean, not that we love to hear about other people's horrors, but we'd like some more information. And if you have been in a similar situation, you know, with a relationship that maybe was flaming out, and that's not a sick play on words, if you are in a relationship that is going nowhere, if you've decided to end the relationship and the person with whom you are ending it just cannot take no for an answer, I mean, you might even have to have gotten the police involved at some point. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with the female in this case who was the victim. I mean, you know, David, I cannot get past the idea of, gee, I have three children with somebody. Boy, this person is my girlfriend. We're having a spat. We're having a disagreement. Maybe the relationship is, in fact, spinning out of control and is about to end. The idea of pouring a flammable liquid or substance on somebody and setting them on fire is just so foreign to the sensibility of anybody with half a conscience as to be beyond belief.
Yeah, it is. You know, someone just sent us an attachment for this ultrasound that the doctor was talking about, a low-frequency contact ultrasound, and it's used for debridement in the burned population. And the results are incredible. Technology has gotten us to, you know, a spot where there is a quality of life after you've sustained burns. But to me, it's, you know, accidental burns, car accidents, there's an explosion, there's some electrical fire, you're in a combat situation. When someone is targeting and victimizing someone, you know, and trying to burn them, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, what is the worst thing that, I mean, first of all, we don't even know if this guy, how he's going to do, because it turns out he has serious injuries as well. But it's really hard to imagine that this was accidental. I mean, there's, you know, maybe you were trying to threaten someone or trying to do, but when you douse someone with a flammable material and then you ignite it, it's really hard to make the argument that this was not intentional, that you didn't try to do this. And I can't find, everyone is open, of course, to their constitutional rights to be in a jury in front of their peers. But it's one of those stories where it's really hard not to prejudge. It's really hard to stay neutral when you see someone who just respectfully takes a, you know, by the dumpster outside, let's have a sit down, and they get attacked like that.
Yeah. It's a horrible situation. The phone number on News Radio 930 WBEN is 803-0930. That's 803-0930. *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And by the way, I just want to throw kudos and props out to the person inside the Tim Hortons, David, who had the presence of mind seeing two people on fire yesterday to grab the fire extinguisher. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you look at something every single day. You look at the fire extinguisher every single day, but then when you need a fire extinguisher, even though you've seen it each and every day and you know exactly where it is in a normal moment, when you do need it to actually have the presence of mind to remember that it's actually there, I have to give props out to the person who did it.
That very true. At the same time, we want to be really careful what fire extinguishers we're using, because there are fire extinguishers that you can put on people that are on fire, and then there's ones, industrial ones, that actually could cause more damage because the chemicals that are inside of them. So maybe, you know, in that case, whether depending on the type of fire, if it's an oil fire, water sometimes makes it worse. You know, I think back to all the white phosphorus.
Oh.
And, you know, if you've ever had a white phosphorus burn, I mean, that nothing puts that out. It's sand, you know, pressure, you taunt it the more you try to put the fire out. In that situation over there, you know, what do you do? No one's prepared for it. That's not part of any OSHA training that you've had of, you know, something outside of the store. It's a really tough spot to be in.
Obviously, talking about the situation at the Tim Hortons, Niagara, and Seymour in the city of Tonawanda, boyfriend sets girlfriend on fire. Both are at ECMC, both very seriously burned. We were hoping to line up a plastic surgeon to talk about all the surgeries that are no doubt going to be needed by the female victim in this case, but unfortunately have been unable to line up one. Hopefully, before the end of the show, we'll be able to provide that, but so far it's not looking good. We do have a winner of Ricky Nelson Remembered, though, so you can stop calling about that. Let's go to Liz in East Aurora. Liz, you're on WBEN. You've had an experience with domestic violence?
No, luckily no, but I'm thinking about this poor woman. The person who did it, okay, he'll probably go to prison, and then New York State is required to take care of him. But what about her? Does she have any insurance? Will the insurance cover all of these surgeries? What happens to her while she's out of work? He's taken care of. He's fed, clothed, sheltered, and gets medical care. It just seems so unfair that she's the victim, and she's more or less victimized again while he gets help.
Well, we don't know if this guy has a job and he's on her insurance policy, but they're not married. They're boyfriend, girlfriend, even though they've got three kids between them. But there's a GoFundMe page, David, that has been set up for the victim, who is very widely loved.
Right. The GoFundMe page, unfortunately, it's trending, but it's not set up. It's only for a $100 goal. There's about $4,500 that has been raised, but I would suggest someone in the family quickly changes the GoFundMe page to get to a level where you can actually receive more funds, because unfortunately the page is not put up with enough information. But
I don't think it's out of the ballpark that with all of the medical treatment this woman is going to need and all of the reconstructive surgeries she absolutely is going to need, that you'd be looking at medical bills of about $1 million. I don't think that's out of the ballpark at all.
Who knows? Again, it's a tragedy upon another tragedy. But Liz, to your point, you know, that's our system. We have people committing murder and end up, you know, getting a master's degree in prison.
Right. They're taken care of. The victim is left on his own. That's really all I had to say. It's just,
I mean, but as we talk about criminal justice reform, we wouldn't really be doing ourselves any great service unless we talked about the other side of it,
right?
Which is, you know, everyone's always complaining about prisoners in Attica and their access to cable television and PlayStation.
Exactly.
Well, it's not supposed to be fun. You've done something horrible and you're atoning for your sin to society. Why should you be given extra things that your victims, you know, have to suffer with the rest of their life?
That was all I had to say.
All right. Thank you very much on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is 3:55. If you see any traffic issues along the way that we need to let other people know about, you can certainly text the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board.